Yesterday we were talking about some of the conditions or characteristics that were necessary for exhorting the right Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, forbidding the wrong, in terms of tabligh, in terms of our interrelationship with the outside community. And we talked about, for example, things like honesty. We talked, for example, about things like courage and so forth. One of them is to have consideration for your audience. To have consideration for your audience. When you're talking to somebody, have consideration for them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi said that while propagating, that we should yassiru wa la yu'assiru wa sakkinu wa la tunaffiru. He said, make it easy and don't make it difficult. Make it comfortable and don't make it distasteful. So you have to obey your akhlaq of conversation with people. When he gave Hazrat Musa and Harun alayhim salam the instructions to go and speak to Pharaoh, he said, speak to him in a soft tone. Speak to him in a mild tone. Don't go condemning and pointing fingers and getting people upset and so forth and so on. A brother asked me today, a very good question. He said, okay, you know, you're talking about, not being in your face, and you know, you're talking about being calm and that type of thing, finding a common ground when you're talking with people. How do you deal with Zionists? How are you going to talk with a Zionist? That was a very, very good question. Okay? One of the first things we do is we should never think that the other side is incapable of change. We should never think that. Take, for example, us going on Yom al-Quds on the street. Think about us. What made us decide to go on the street and march? One reason is that some of us know it's important. It's a way of displaying our feelings. You know, it's a political move. Try to get people to join with us. Okay, that's good. That's probably the best reason. Others would be because they encourage me from the center. That's it. Everybody's going, so I'm going too. That's it. Nothing more than that. Okay? If they were not part of the center, they wouldn't go. They wouldn't miss it. There are Jews who feel so traumatized by the Holocaust, feel so under siege by a society that still might have certain elements of anti-Semitism in them. You can look at the synagogues. It's always a fortress, right? There's always a guard and so forth. You think they're guarding against Al-Qaeda? That was long before Al-Qaeda. Okay, they're not guarding against Al-Qaeda or Nusra Front or ISIS or anything like that. No. Well, this is how they feel. And they think that they need a home, a place where they can go for refuge. All right? So they think of Palestine. Do they think about taking away the land from the people who live there? That doesn't cross their mind sometimes. And if it does, it is the answer is given to them in an ideological way. In an ideological way. All right? In other words, what I'm trying to point out to you is sometimes the reason why they are Zionist is a very superficial one. And so it is quite possible for you to change your opinion. There have been many, many people who have been Zionists who have changed their opinion. And one way of approaching it in a calm and soft way is to question. That's it. To question. Socrates made a science out of it. You just keep on questioning the person and questioning the person. Well, if what you say is true, then what would you say about this, for example? You know, until that person, him or herself, arrives at the conclusion that you think they should arrive at. Because when you question somebody, questioning is a submissive type of behavior, okay? But it depends on how you question. You know, you can question aggressively. You know, but if you don't question aggressively, it's a kind of a submissive type of a behavior. It's like the questioner is asking for information from someone who he thinks knows. So that person does not feel under threat by you. And so that person is he doesn't have his guard up. Okay? And so you can lead that person into coming towards the truth. So we can also challenge them. We can also talk to them. Don't think about any enemy or any opponent that is impervious to change. There are some, of course, but not the rank and file people. Generally not. So this is what it is. You know, when you're talking with people, just chill. Just chill. You know, just be calm. You know, I remember a person told me how they became a Muslim, okay? He said they were hanging with this Muslim guy, and anytime they asked him a question, he'll give him a direct answer, straight up. You know, no flowery language or anything like that. You know, and when after they finished talk, he would go off and pray, just like that, just go and pray whenever he needed to pray. And this had a very profound influence upon him, but we'll touch upon that. We're talking about now in the area of action here, okay? But very importantly, when they ask you a question, you have a proper answer. You have a proper answer. And we go back to honesty. You know, if you don't have a proper answer and that person can challenge you on it, don't put your back up against the wall and try to defend your ego. You tell them with all humility. People appreciate that. You know something? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I'll find out for you, and we'll come back and we'll talk. No problem. So humility is a very important criterion for the relations of tabligh. Then you have a place. You need a place. You need a place to call them to. All right? So you meet somebody and you're talking with them. You need to bring them somewhere where they could experience this ideal that you're talking about in practice. You bring them among Muslims. One of my strategies in Canada, Toronto, when I used to do tabligh, I used to do lots of tabligh in the month of Ramadan. You know, and my best time for tabligh was iftar time. So I'll advise a Christian to our iftar. Okay? So this person knows already we are fasting. And before the iftar, we have a talk. And the talk is not directed to him. The talk is not directed to him. The talk is not to try to convince him, because we have a talk that is going on with a particular theme and so forth. You just come to sit down, listen, and share with us. Many of these people became Muslim. Many of them. Not just after Ramadan, but after a constant type of relationship like that. Because sometimes people need a different social environment that reflects those ideals, those principles that you've been talking about. It makes it real for them. Okay? And eventually they become Muslim. And I'd ask them, let's say there's 10 of them, I'd ask them, what made you become Muslim? What in our actions, what in our behavior made you become Muslim? And they will never say what we talked about. They will never say what we talked about. Okay? You know, Muslims have this idea that because our religion is so rational, okay, that just talk is going to convince somebody about Islam. Well, it's not true. All right? Talk will convince some people, but not everybody. Most of them would say, I like the fact that you guys were young people and you were married and you had kids. Because people who were 25 and 24 in this society were not married or having kids, especially if you're going to university. They like that. I like you, how you brothers hugged each other and kissed each other when you greeted each other. They like that. You know, I liked how women and men relate to each other in terms of separation and so forth. They liked that. It was all about being in that environment. It was all about being in that atmosphere that gave them that particular reality. And I want to talk to you later on, if we have time, talk to you later on about, tablir as in terms of action, not in terms of words. Because I tell you something, brothers and sisters, that if I brought one new or possibly new Muslim, potential new Muslim, to this environment, especially if she was a woman, she would run out of that front room, she would run out of this building and say, I want to have nothing to do with Islam. I tell you they will do that. Take, for example, and I'm skipping a beat here now, I'm going ahead of myself. Take, for example, the noise you hear on that side of the room. Take, for example, the noise. Have you ever gone to a church where the preacher is giving a sermon? I don't mean a black church, huh? That's a different story. Okay. Right? I mean a regular church where the preacher is giving a sermon. You have the same configuration. You have men, you have women, and they bring their kids. Try it. When he is talking, you can hear a pin drop. A pin drop. You can hear it. The men are quiet, the women are quiet, and the children are quiet. Listen to what's going on over here. Are we the best community for mankind? Are we the best community for mankind? When we know that when somebody is speaking to you, you should be quiet and listen. Alhamdulillah, salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we can do it. Thank you very much, sisters. We can do it. Okay? We train our children. When one of the children in that church makes a noise, the parent looks at them and goes, shh. The child quiets down. Okay? If that child is making too much noise, they take him outside. In some communities, they have a particular creche for the little ones. But by and large, there is discipline in that particular community. Now you know why they are ahead and we are not. The only reason why they are not as ahead as they should be is because their own particular doctrines itself is problematic and they can't sell it to the youth. So they have to bring in a rock band in the church to be able to sell it to the youth. But apart from that, they have discipline. And it is something that we have to encourage, not on just a mass level like this, but we have to encourage on a personal level in terms of how we treat and raise our children. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we need to have a place where we gather so that we can bring them there among our community. Tabligh is nothing without a personal relationship, without a personal intimate relationship with the person. You know, where you make that person your friend. That you don't do tabligh, to somebody as if you're teaching a class of people you don't know. You make that person a friend. Tabligh is a relationship. It's a relationship. It's not just words. And when that person enters a relationship with you, they realize that this is something different and special. That's tabligh. And in the realm of relationship again, this is in the area of practical akhlaq. You know the story when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be going to Taif, and when he'd pass by the window of somebody, that person would throw all kinds of rubbish upon him all the time. And then one day it didn't happen. What did the Prophet do? You know what I might have done? I might have said, thank you, Lord, for my prayers that would make his hands wither or something like that. You know, what did he do? He went to see the guy. Like, you haven't been throwing garbage on me. What's up? What's the problem? Maybe your hand is hurting or something. This is a relationship. And showing that person love, showing the man who used to bother him, love, made that man become a Muslim. He didn't have to tell him about Tawheed. He didn't have to tell him about Nubuwah. He didn't have to tell him about Ma'ad. He didn't have to bring philosophical arguments about wajib al-wujud. He didn't have to do any of these things. He didn't have to talk about the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. It's about how you relate to people. The most important thing is how you relate to people. And when you speak, what you talk about has a relationship with your behavior. And this is what truth is. Truth is that. You know that how you speak and what you say is reflected in your behavior. And when they have that good feeling of being in a relationship with a mu'min, you know, they'll jump to Islam. And then later on, they're going to find out about Tawheed and Nubuwah and Ma'ad and all these types of things. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.